Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo! What up there, good folks? It's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp, May 23rd, 2013. Woo! 11 p.m. Eastern, man. These nights is getting later and later, it feels like, man. Week's almost over. Throwback Thursday. All on Instagram, all your high school pics. Throw out there, you know, all the old school flicks that you got, all the VHSs. I don't think anybody old enough to have 8-track. All your little CDs, man, throw some old school. We lived basking in your second childhood, man. Second childhood was great times, man. Sometimes you got to think about where you came from. Then you got to start thinking about where you're going. I hope all y'all having a good night out there. Hope y'all being safe, especially with all these tornadoes and storms going on. Hope the people out there in Oklahoma getting themselves together, because it is dangerous in these streets, you know. Like, it is real dangerous. We have been with some funnel clouds out here in VA today, huh? Some dark clouds, not sure what's going on. But hey, you know, what can you do? You know, you see a tornado, get your ass in a cellar. Get in the basement. Other than that, ain't much you can do. Got my man M Extra Money live on the mic. What's good, M Extra?
What's going on?
No, I mean, I saw you call my phone, man, but you know, I couldn't go over. We on the show.
Yeah, man, my bad. I was trying to dial to the show, dodging them five state.
So you getting ready for Memorial Day weekend, yo? Where the party at, yo? You going to be barbecuing hamburgers, hot dogs, man?
Nah, I ain't doing none of that, man. I'm trying to find somewhere I can go myself. Chilling at my house.
Come on down to the beach, man. Throw something on the grill, yo. Might get some crabs, yo.
Yeah. Sounds great. Don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel you. So, got a lot of different things to talk about tonight. Still got so many topics that we still haven't discussed. I want to talk about how, man, we had Rondé Barber retiring. I wanted to talk about, being that it's a big sports show. He retired a couple weeks ago. We never got a chance to discuss it. Now, I think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer. It's amazing how different his career went from Tiki Barber. You know, they're both, you know, well-versed individuals, well-educated individuals, great ball players. But Tiki became like a goat. You know, it feels like no one likes Tiki, yo. But everyone loves Rondé, yo. You think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer there, M-Extra?
Nope. I sure don't. I don't think that he put up the quite numbers that other DR, like DR and other corners. That's in the first ballot range. I think he'll definitely get in, but I don't think he's the first ballot. I compare him to his career sort of like Chris Carter as a receiver. He's well respected. He put up solid numbers. You know what I mean? All pro in his own right. But I think he'll get overlooked by like people who may come out when he gets and when his time comes, that just sure as like a shoe-in. And those are other people who actually got them passed over for a couple of years. So I think they'll take them like one or three times to actually finally get in.
Well, you don't think Chris Carter's the first ballot Hall of Famer?
But he wasn't. I mean, I thought he was, but he wasn't, though. I mean,
I'm not talking about where he'll actually go. I mean, I don't think Rondé Barber will get in on the first time. Okay, I guess first ballot Hall of Famer is probably the wrong statement I'm saying. Do you think Rondé's a guaranteed Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah. I think he's guaranteed. just don't think he'll get in the first round. His first time.
Yeah, the first round's all politics. I still never get it. I feel like if you're up for a Hall of Fame, if people feel like you're a Hall of Famer, you should get in the Hall of Fame. Should be that easy.
Yeah. I like the way the football does it better than what the way baseball do it. I think the way baseball do it is a joke. I think they should, you know what I mean? Basically,
what's the difference?
Huh?
What's the difference?
The difference is that the baseball, like football, you actually have to put people in. Like they vote, and they take the vote, and they take the top six votes, and then that's your class. Baseball, you have the writers, for whatever reason, if you didn't give them credit or if they got an opinion about you, like, they don't have to put nobody in. Like somebody like Cal Ripken, like, when I heard about, like this year, they didn't put nobody in. Like, how is that possible? Like, how are you as a writer going to tell me no one's worthy, like, whatever the career is? Like, even someone like Cal Ripken set all the records, timeless. He didn't even get 100% votes. Like, how does someone like Cal Ripken don't get 100% votes as him putting in to be in the Hall of Fame? Like, how is that possible?
So do you think these guys should be able to put – you think these guys should have their names to their votes? So if something egregious like that – like, I'm not a big Cal Ripken fan. I'm not an Oles fan. But, yeah, to me, I mean, what he's done to the sport, definitely a Hall of Famer. So do you think that they should have, like – who you vote for should be released to the public?
Either that, or I just think that they should at least be, like, I think, I just think that, like, the other names that they get put up that are qualified to be in the Hall of Fame, I think they should be voted on, and then they should definitely be able not to, like, put somebody in. Like, I think it means that much for them to at least put people in the Hall of Fame that deserve to be there. Like, instead of them, for whatever reason, or whatever their personal feelings are, you know what I mean, whether you're a fan or not, you know, if he puts up the numbers that are Hall of Fame worthy, then he deserves to be like a kind of up and down vote. Like, if he gets more of the percentage, like football, you get 60% of the votes or whatever it is, 80% of the votes, you're in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, you may have those people that are dissenting, but at the end of the day, like, if the majority of people say that you're worthy, then you get in. Like, but the way baseball does it, like, yo, like, shit, like, you don't just have to, like, they put the people that's qualified, and then they don't have to vote for anybody. Like, there's no option for them, like, all right, look, these are the short lists, and we need a vote right now to see if they're going to get in. If they get 85% of the vote, they get in. Like, they could just be like, nah, I ain't voting for them. Nah, nah. Like, how is that right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. That whole process just doesn't make sense to me, but I mean, I guess it's the way it is. I don't know. No, that's what I'm thinking. Say that again?
And the sports writers, like, what the hell do they know? You know what I mean? These probably people who had never played a damn sport in their damn life, and they get to decide, like, what I did in my career. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just because I didn't give you your interview, or maybe you asked a dumbass question, I like answering it, and you get to decide, you know what I mean, what my legacy is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, like, I think change and make it like some kind of like peer vote, like, for baseball anyway. It should be like a peer thing, like included with the sports writers. Like, you know what I mean? Because them dudes, they taking shit out of context. Like, it's going too far, I think.
Yeah, baseball's a weird sport, man. I don't know. I mean, just even the whole thing last week with the whole umpire not calling a home run because he felt disrespected that they asked him to go to the screen to look at the replay just cracks me up, yo. Like,
right.
Where you get the audacity to be upset because someone told you to check something that was close? Like, where are you at in your life? I mean, I feel like I'm a stubborn dude for the most part. I feel like people can't tell me nothing. But in that same token, anytime someone tells me something, I always take a minute to think, like, yo, are they really telling me something? Like, I never want to be to the point where can't nobody tell me anything. Like, that's just a bad way to live. So if you're, and that's just me in my personal life, I couldn't imagine being at a sporting event where I'm the person in charge of judging calls, and someone asking me to double-check a call, and me being offended that they asked me a question, and even though I saw one thing, I decided to still make the same wrong call just because I'm offended. That's baseball.
The play that you're talking about, ain't nobody eyes that good to see that happen without a replay. Like, you could not see that the ball actually, where the ball hit. Like, come on, yo. Like, you made,
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was so close, he thought it was a home run. It could have looked like a home run. I mean, he thought it was a double. It could have looked like a double. You know, like you said, it's that far away, your eye's not that good. So he was like, okay, I thought it was a double. You thought it was a home run. You asked me to check it, and I get upset that you asked me to check it. Like, and he got upset about it, and I get upset about that. That's crazy.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. Like, that's crazy. Like, that should just be a norm. Like, I don't understand. That's why I don't really understand baseball anyway. Like, I think they think that just because they kind of like that older sport, like how dare you implement the change? Like, instant replay. They talk about instant replay slowing up the game and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm like, first of all, you know, like, the batter steps out the box like 8 million times. You know what I mean? Do you really have to do that? Does the pitcher have to take fucking every, like, so long? Like, put him on a timer. Like, everybody got a shot clock. Football got a play clock. Basketball got a little shot clock. Yo, put the pitcher on a timer. Tell this motherfucker he needs to pitch faster. Tell the batter don't step out the box all the time. Like, instead of getting a play right out, rather than put a pitcher on a clock saying the play has to happen, or at least a pitch has to be thrown in this amount of time, than for them to get a play that, like, if you're out at first, right, by instant replay. Like, I think it's easy for them to, like, and then they had the plays, like, where I understood why the manager runs out there, kicks some dirt on the umpire, all for, they argue a call, all for him to get thrown out the game. Like, how much time does that waste for nothing to get resolved but you to get thrown out the game? You know what I'm saying? Why not have him have, like, a little beanbag that he can throw at the ump? Be like, yeah, review that call. Because the amount of time it took me to run all the way out to that ump, they could have been in the booth reviewing that joint.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they had the technology to even judge strikes and balls, but they don't want to do that. But I'm like, yo, man, like why does baseball have to be so stubborn? I thought golf was stubborn. You know? It seems like baseball is more stubborn a sport than golf. And golf didn't even allow white caddies in Augusta until 1980s. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand either. Yeah, I think they need to implement instant replay in some kind of capacity. And I think the striking ball thing, I think that's going a little bit too far. But I think any play, like a first base play, you know what I mean, if it's close, I feel like, you know what I mean, instead of the ump going out there to argue, he should be able to throw a flag or throw something on the field, say, I want that call reviewed. Give him a limited amount, you know what I mean, of challenges, and then let them go that way. Because, I mean, them sort of challenges he's going to do anyway by running out there arguing the call and then running back. You know what I'm saying? Like, so why not give him a challenge, right? And then let him control that. You can control it that way.
Right.
Games keeps moving. But if it's a close call, instead of him arguing, kicking dirt, and getting thrown out, man, look, Joe just checked the replay for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. I don't know. Like, it seems like it's so simple. But, yeah, I mean, if they were talking about it on Mike and Mike, they were talking about, like, the legacy of the game and way back when this first started. I'm like, man, technology wasn't available back then. So I don't want to hear about what happened in 1920. Like, you know what I'm saying? Baseballs weren't even the same. They weren't made the same. Bats weren't even made the same. So what are you talking about, 1920? You changed the game. It's like gloves weren't the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so many different things that weren't the same
You see about them dudes putting that, the pitchers putting that stuff on their arm, the little suntan lotion.
I forgot where he put on it, yo. But he was like, but he kept going to his arm at the beginning of every pitch, yo. And then they finally called him out on it. But like, that's what I'm saying, like shit like that, yo. Like, it's crazy, you know, like the tar and stuff to give you good grip and slip. I don't know. I don't understand baseball. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, man. Another hot topic we got with the halfway point. Did you want to get in anything, yo?
No, I'm good.
Me and my wife was talking earlier. Me and my baby mother. We was having this discussion about, because she was talking about Republicans, and I hate when she classifies all Republicans and all Democrats or whatever. But she was just talking about how legislation now, like they're trying to pass a law that says you can't have an abortion after 20 weeks because the baby, the fetus feels pain. And, you know what I mean, a certain group is trying to get this law passed. And what I never understood, and this turned into a whole discussion of drugs and all this stuff, and just legislation on people's lives. Like, I can understand legislations to help people in the world, you know what I mean, to get laws and rules in society so people just aren't running around raping people and stealing and maiming and all that stuff. I just don't understand. And it hurts me in a way, because as a man who's been through an abortion, it sucks because I feel as a man, even though I halfway produce a child, if I get a woman pregnant and she wants an abortion, there's really nothing I can do about it. I can talk all I want about, no, I don't want you to have a baby. I mean, yeah, I want you to have the baby. I want you to have the baby. But it's her body, and if she doesn't want to have the baby, I feel like she has every right to terminate that baby. She has every right to have an abortion if that's what she wants. Even though I'm the father, it's her body. I don't understand how they can make a law saying if a woman can or cannot have an abortion, you know. I can't come to grips. I just don't understand it.
I know. Like, the argument is that basically you're protecting a infant because they can't speak for themselves. And that argument to me is fine if you're dealing with actually someone that's actually living, breathing. Well, I can't even say that because that's the argument, right? They are living and they are breathing. But it's kind of like your argument about the Mother's Day, Father's Day thing, right? Like, you're not technically a father because the baby hasn't been born yet, but the baby's breathing. So technically you are a father because the baby's alive. It's that same argument that you use there. That's what they use as far as protecting the human, the right to life, that, you know, it's conceived, and so it's a human soon as it has a heartbeat and is breathing, right? So it's kind of that same double-edged sword. But I agree that we shouldn't be legislating.
But it's still in someone else's body. Like, how can, I guess that's my point. How can you tell me, okay, I did the deed, pretend I'm a woman, I got pregnant, so you're telling me I can't have an abortion, even though, let's say there's a chance I might die having it. Well, yeah, I mean, just keep it basic. Let's say I don't want the kid. You going to tell me I can't do something to my body because you feel as though I should have the kid? Like, that has nothing, this kid is not going to be your responsibility.
Right. I mean, I agree. And I think that they use that same argument about, like, well, what if the baby was yours? Like, what if it was born and you were abusing it? I have a right to call the police and take that baby away from you by calling Child Protective Services. And that baby can't really speak because the baby doesn't know what's right or what's wrong. So as me, as a citizen of the United States, I should be able to protect that baby when the parents aren't protecting it. So that's the argument that I hear them saying, right? Although I don't think it's a flawed argument, because you're right. Like, it's my body. I should be able to do what I want to do with it. And what's more enlightening is that they always talk about less government when it's convenient for them, right? They always talk about less government. They want less government. Government shouldn't be in our lives. It's patient. But yet they legislate the same way that you're talking about, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, when they were talking about Obamacare, all the argument was that government shouldn't be talking about what you and your doctor should be talking about. Government, stay out of our lives. Government, stay out. Yet they pass all this legislation through the government about the same stuff that they're talking about Obamacare with. And Obamacare has nothing to do with making decisions. It's basically giving you more access. So that's my problem with the Republican argument about abortion. It's like, it's only less, same thing with this whole, I hate to say it, but
Look at the Oklahoma City thing. And that's a Republican state. All with this whole sequester stuff, all about this old smaller government. But until a national, like until a tragedy happens to their state, now they want the government. Oh, the government's gonna, we're not gonna play with money then when it comes to our relief. Like, yo, I thought you wanted a smaller government. I thought you didn't want government in your backyard. So why are you calling on the government when your state's fucked up? You know what I mean?
Is that what happened? Are they talking about the money being spent in Oklahoma because of the tornadoes?
Yeah, like the Republican senator was talking about, yeah, we're not going to have that same debacle that they had in Jersey and New York. We're going to make sure the money gets to our people, blah, 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 blah. But yet, you know what I mean? And then Obama, of course, doing what he needs to do, sending FEMA down there to help him and all. That's all government-run agencies, you know what I mean, that was hurt by the sequester, right? But at the same token, he's talking about, oh, well, we need smaller government, smaller government, smaller government. Yet when it's something that hits home, now they want the government to be in their backyard. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't talk about both. You can't talk about smaller government when it's convenient. It's like it's convenient for them. They want government when it's convenient. When it's a tragedy, they want government. But when there's no tragedy, they just living, oh, smaller government, smaller government, smaller. Smaller government. We don't need this government. Washington's running up deficits. You know what I'm saying? But when it has something to do with this,
sure.
Government aid, unlimited government aid, help us fix our town. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this. Do you think that the poor, relationship between the Democrats and Republicans, the way the whole government work right now, do you think that's because, I just want your honest opinion. And, you know, I know it's kind of slated because you're black, but I'm interested to hear your opinion. Do you think it's more because of the ever-changing and different views between Democrats and Republicans, or do you think it's just because Barack Obama's a black guy?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think some of the smaller government argument, I think is just a fundamental right of the Republican Party, but I think them being so obstructionist, it has a lot to do with Barack Obama. Like stuff that used to pass just without like a bipartisan bill these days aren't even bipartisan anymore. Like raising the debt ceiling. Like, you know what I mean? That was from, if you look at all through the Bush, 8 years Bush, Clinton, the first George Bush, Reagan, like it was always raised. It was just raised naturally. Like, you just knew it was going to happen. Republican and Democrats, like, it just was going to happen. You know what I mean? Even when Bush unfunded the two wars, they raised the debt ceiling every time. Every time the Democrats did. And the Democrats held the houses and the Senate, too. But they just did it because it's all bipartisan. We're going to pay our bills. But then Barack Obama gets in there. Now, all of a sudden, oh, no, we can't raise the debt ceiling. We got a high debt. What? Like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. I don't think it really has – I don't know if it has really something to do with him being black, per se. I mean, I would hope that it's not, but it's looking like it. Like, people made that argument before, and I try to see over that, but I just can't explain their actions. Like, the way they're not – like, stuff that has been bipartisan is not being passed right now, like has been prior years. And the only thing that's changed is the first black president. You know what I mean? Because they didn't do it under Clinton. They didn't do it under Bush, right? So that's both Republican, Democrat. So why now? I don't know. You know what I mean?
And that's what's scary, because I'm wondering, like, the people, because I question our government. I think the government means well, but I think it's become more run of people who are professional politicians and not professional people helpers, I guess. That's probably a horrible way to say it. That's just,
now,
you know, I mean, the government.
I said, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so, like, I wonder, so now, like, I mean, that's what scares me. So, like, if people in the government are basically like, yeah, I don't want to help him because he's a black president, and if the government's main focus is not to help the American people, then what's the point in having them, you know? I feel like I sound like a Republican, you know? Like, I mean, I feel like it's just a bunch of old white dudes in D.C. that we're waiting for them to die so that the new people can come in and we can get this show on the road. Like, because, I mean, if you think about it, if you're,
let's say you're 60 years old. Let's say you're a 60-year-old senator. I'm sure that happens, right?
Oh, yeah. So, older than that.
Okay, so, I mean, but let's say 60 to 70 years ago. I mean, you're talking 1950s. You're talking about 1940s, 50s, 60s. That's height of the racism.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's still...
You're still dealing with people who were born in segregated times and who do not look at people the same. And should those people be running a government in 2013 when the world has changed? The world has changed so much since I've been born in the 80s. Like, the world's just got smaller because of the internet. And I wonder if these old dudes even know how to work an iPad, you know?
I know. And that's why I think, and I'm a firm believer of term limits. I think after the 6-year Senate term, I think after your 2-term max show, you've been in there for 12 years, that you need to be out. In the House, it's an every 2-year thing, so I think it should be like 4 years for them, like 4 term limits. You could run 4 times, Joe, you're out. I think I'm just a firm believer on term limits. I think that solved is basically what you're saying. Those career politicians who are just worried about getting reelected and worried about pleasing their constituents, and, you know what I mean, that's why even the talk right now, like, they talking about, like, so Obama can kind of, like, pass all this stuff. Like, they haven't passed the jobs bill, but they're out here talking about Benghazi and all this other stuff, IRS thing. But they still haven't had they failed to pass the jobs bill. The House hasn't took up a bill in, like, over, like, 3 years now. They haven't passed one bill. Yet they had all these investigations about Benghazi and IRS scandal and all this other stuff, but they haven't passed the bill. The only bill that they've passed, or the only bill that they voted on, was to abolish Obamacare, which is not going to get taken up in the Senate. So they just do it just so people can, at the district, can say, I voted against Obamacare for the next election. They can campaign for it, right? But yet they're there to make laws, right? That's what the Congress does. And so with all this stuff, like, you know what I mean, they were talking about with the next election, the Republicans, there's only like 40 seats out of like the 435 in the Congress that are up for grabs for the Democrats, that are like in between seats. Because of gerrymandering and all this other kind of stuff, they're just safe Republican districts and safe Senate seats, Democrat seats. So it's kind of like if I'm in one of those, and I can't knock them, because if you're in a state – where, like, you, like, the state legislative is, like, Republican or whatever, and they gerrymandered your district, so you know that it's heavy Republican. So unless you get a challenger that's a Republican, that's the only way you're going to lose. Yeah, I'm not going to vote for anything that has to, if I just want to keep my job, my Senate seat, I'm not going to get a Democrat, like, challenger. So basically I'm just going to run so I don't get another, like, Republican challenger for the primary, right? So that's all they're doing. So all they're doing is basically playing to the next election. So all these little votes in their rhetoric is just basically for their district to say, hey, look, man, he stood up to Obama. And that for he don't have to pass anything. All I got to do is say, I said no to the Democrat. And I think he's a socialist, Marxist, Stalinist, whatever calling it. And then that's all I get. I get reelected because I'm not going to get, you know what I mean, no Democrat's going to win because the way they carved out the district. Like, that's what they're talking about now. And it's crazy. Like, there's only 40 seats. Out of all the seats in Congress, 40 of them. That's what separates a Democrat majority over a Republican majority. Like, it's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, it's just, I'm just so disappointed in the federal government. Like, it just doesn't make, I feel like federal government should just make common sense, you know? Like, you shouldn't be controlling the government due to bylaws. You should be controlling the government because that's what the people want. The people should be voting on stuff, and you should just be the facilitator. But,
I guess
that's just the way politics works, man. And until we get off our seats and change, it's going to be the way it is.
You're right. Get all these old farts out of there, man, and start putting some new people in there with fresh ideas. That's going to work. The young people who don't have those same views from, like, the, you know what I mean, 1960s, 1950s, and grew up in that time. So
yeah, you know what else time it is? It's time to go.
Dom
All right, bro. I'll talk to you.